Fred from the
Q-Tip.
Oh, I'm here.
That's right, it's our first game.
They switched the order on me.
As most of y'all know, during the Christmas break, we had the freezing weather that come in and everything that descended in our area here. So this required quite a few of our employees to work during this Christmas break. And right now, we'd like to recognize those employees. There's a few of them in here, not all of them. We want to recognize them for the time that they spent away from their families while working here. But we also want to recognize that the sacrifices that their family had to make for them to be here to work during the Christmas break, you know. And when we're talking Christmas, you know, we're talking Christmas Eve, we're talking Christmas Day, we're, you know, it just wasn't, we don't get to choose when we work here at the utility and stuff. During this time, we responded to two water breaks. And I don't know about you guys, but did any of y'all go out during that weather? You know, I had to go out and take care of my chickens and stuff like that. And it was miserable to be out in that weather out there. And here these guys are actually working in the water, fixing these water breaks and everything. We did one of these. We'll recognize them here in a minute. But we also did one valve replacement. We had around 300 calls. You know, and that was, these started on Friday and went through the, Monday night. Sorry. You know, so we had numerous frozen pipes, frozen calls for frozen meters because, you know, the homeowner, their first thought is, you know, it's the meter that's frozen, you know, it's not the pipes and stuff in the house and everything, but, and then as, what hurt us the worst was as the weather started to warm up, over that time after we had the quick freeze and then the warm up, we also had busted pipes. We had a lot of homes that were flooding. You know, you get a call and they'd be hysterical saying, telling you that their ceiling in their living room was falling in and, you know, or in the kitchen was falling in or stuff like that. So, you know, we had those calls. These guys also had to deal with some disgruntled customers, not at the utility, but what they were having to face in their own homes and stuff, you know, and everything. So these employees actually, you know, because the homeowner would be like, well, I don't want to be out with the water too long. So our employees actually gave them their phone number so they could call them and say, hey, we got the leak fixed. Can you come back and turn our water back on instead of going back through our answering service and stuff like that? You know, so they did an outstanding job with customer service, you know, dealing with our customers and everything. So so here are some of the hours that our employees put in. The first three that I'd like to recognize is Dustin, Jeremy, and Josh. During this time, they had a water break out on, I think in Parr Lane, but what?
Bogey
Lane. Out there, it ended up being quite a fix for these guys as it was up underneath some pine trees, so they was having to cut roots and everything else away. So they were out there quite a long time that day in the freezing weather, in the water and everything. They also went to Chili's. We had a fire line that broke out there, and the valve to turn the fire line off had broke. They actually figured out that we just didn't turn it enough when we was out there. It ended up being a bigger valve than what we showed. So they got it finally shut down, when they come in and everything. But they worked, you know, a total of all three of them together. They worked 9 hours and 45 minutes each, during that time. Jason Sandlin worked 71.5 hours. Jennifer got on to me because, you know, he had some 20-hour days. She wanted to know when to sleep. That's cool. But, you know. I can tell you, you caught your sleep where you could, you know, and everything. Richard Welch, which is not in here, he's one of our newer meter readers. He worked 32 and a half hours. Josh Arbison worked 22 and a half hours. Taylor Adams, he's not in here. He worked 15 hours. Christian back there, one of our new meter readers, also worked 16 hours and 45 minutes. Louie, which is one of our new meter readers, he worked 12 hours. And what we did on Friday was, because the calls were coming in so hot and heavy, we actually put two people in each vehicle. That way, one was taking the addresses down as I was calling them, so the other one can continue to drive to get to the next one, you know, because of the way the weather and stuff was there. So for a total of those 4 days that we worked, Friday through Monday, it was 209 hours and a half of time that they put in. So,
thank you, guys.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank
you so much.
Well,
thank
you. I just want to recognize these guys.
That was over and above. I mean, how much time did you spend with your family, Chris?
Personal thing, personal thing, 8 hours total.
Appreciate it.
I have one other technician, sorry. Jennifer just reminded me.
And Johnny Munchford for taking on phone calls.
Yeah, I have no more time to put anywhere. To Jason, passed his D4 water test. We continue to climb that hurdle there to catch, get our guys trained up and passing that test for the class 4. So.
Thanks, Tony.
Congratulations.
Next up is to, can we get a motion to approve the minutes from December 19th, 2022?
So moved.
Second. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Good news, we have December financial statements.
Yay!
And November, so. Now, I don't even remember how to work the thing.
Oh, geez.
Did y'all put a new keyboard up here? Do you have a page down? Page down. Respect you, man.
He took away my phone. Okay, he doesn't know how many pages I have in this packet. That's why I use the page down button. Up there at the top? Yeah, okay. There's probably 80 of these are probably mine. So I'm just going to report the December financials. I do have November in here, but December comes in both. But if you have questions, if you saw some in November, more than welcome to ask me questions. So for December, compared to last December, we did have increased billed revenue. Of course, we have that rate increase compared to last year. And our water consumption actually did decrease 7.5% from last December. Our profit for the month, though, we had $120,000 compared to last year of $137,000, so still not too bad. Access and impact fee collection year to date, we are behind the prior 2 years, but we are still doing okay with our budget. We're at $312,000 for water. We are ahead of the budget and the prior year. And I kind of broke down, so we're kind of 6 months of the year is over. So it's kind of a nice time to just look at where we are mid-year financially. And in this packet, after I discussed this, I've included two sets of income statements, and this is more of a preference and a question of what you guys would like as a commission. I have the income statements, how they've been traditionally presented by department and by company, and then I've also included an income statement by category. So we have expenses grouped in some of these categories that I'm about to talk with. So these totals down here are year-to-date. Revenues have increased almost $1.4 million from last year. My backup. Billed revenues is where that money is coming from. We're at 1.7 ahead of the prior year. Those billed revenues are definitely helping us. Interest income is helping us. We're up $93,000. Because we are trending behind on access, impact, new customer fees, as well as service charges and penalties that we've waived during our software conversion. And ARO billing and miscellaneous income are less than prior year. We do hope to catch up some of that ARO billing that has been, with the software changes, the ARO is what we bill for taps and going out and doing construction work to our non-consumed water customers. We hope to catch that up in the next couple of months, so that shouldn't be as dramatic there. Expenses, they've only increased $440,000. Water purchases are $228,000 of that. So you can see our revenues are doing a great job, and we're doing the best we can to control these expenses, especially during times where, as you know, inflation and prices are continuing to increase. Salaries and payroll taxes and benefits are up $41,000 from last year. Utilities are up $26,000. Operating supplies and other have increased $74,000. Repair and maintenance is up $56,000. Computer software maintenance is up $19,000 with all these wonderful software things we're doing. And then net other categories, which you can see in the detail later, is overall increased $5,000. So you can see where that money's coming in and where that money's going. Does anyone have questions on the water before I move to sewer? And for the sewer department, similar story. Billed revenue was up slightly, and consumption was down almost 7%. Profit for the month, right on target from last year, $336,000 compared to last year's $335,000. And again, access impact fees at $527,000 is trending behind the prior 2 years. Same information, but for the sewer department. Revenues are up $764,000. Again, there's not that irrigation component, and the rate increase, I believe this last year was 9% versus water's 12%. So, billed revenues are up $986,000. Again, that's what's saving us right now. Interest income up $123,000. Access and impact fees are down. Service charge and penalties are down. And ARO billing and miscellaneous income net combined are actually a little greater than the prior year. We do a lot more billed accounts receivable, other billing, and water than we do in sewer. So it's a much more significant in the water department. Expenses are up $433,000 from the prior year. So again, we're talking $11 and $12 million expense budget. So $433,000 is very well, in my opinion. Salaries, payroll, taxes, and benefits greater than the prior year by $40,000. Utilities, we have the plants, so it's up $103,000 from last year. Operating supplies and others, $49,000 increase. City franchise fees are $37,000. Repair and maintenance are up $60,000. $24,000 of that is the plan. $36,000 is the field. It's a pretty split. Again, the computer software maintenance up about $20,000. Sludge disposal, which includes some utilities there too, $59,000. Chemicals are up. So overall, just kind of wanted to give you a snapshot of how we're doing financially. You know, it's easy to put some numbers up there, and these are still numbers, so I understand that, but to kind of give them a little more context on what the bottom line is and where the monies are going and coming from. We're doing very well on our restricted and unrestricted funds. We're at $46 million for December 2022, increase of almost $4 million from last year. Majority of that is in the sewer funds. We're at $3.2 million there. We are no longer funding the sludge solids phase one, where we had prior been put money. We only have one outstanding debt in sewer, where we have two in water, and we have yet to start we've started the early sludge solids phase two, but we haven't picked that up full steam. So just to update you on some office operations, starting in this month, customer billing has been on time. So December, we were actually billing on time, but we've had some complications with our mailing and printing service, which is another agenda item on the packet today that we will discuss. But in January, we have been having the bills ready, and they have been mailed on time to customers. And so with that progress that we're making, we plan to start service disconnections again in late February. We're looking towards mid to late February. We want to be sure that we send proper notification to the customers that are directly affected. Send more than one text to those targeted customers. Allow them chances to have payment plans, those kinds of things. So that's our rough estimate right now. We are waiting on some training as well with a new software company before we roll that out. But just kind of wanted to put that on your radar. And due to the increased workload and customer growth, we have added an additional CSR staff starting this month. And we have new software, we have new processes, but also our customer growth since 2018 when we last added one is up 9%. So not only that, you know, we're promoting an existing staff member to a CSR2, and then we're also taking one of our existing CSR2s who also helps with accounting at times, and we're cross-training her to help for, obviously, my maternity leave in future months. So we're doing our best to make sure all areas of the office are covered. That means providing more support for billing, providing more support for accounting. That way, in the event that something were to occur, we have the coverage to catch up on work and the ability to continue operations for our staff. It's been a very stressful last few months for them, for sure. So, are there any questions for that before I should give you a sneak peek of those financial statements? Oh, I went too far. Okay, so this is the format you're accustomed to seeing. It's the water revenue and the department expense. And I can continue with this format. I can switch to the other. I can do this format regularly and give you kind of the mid-year or quarterly update if you would like as well in the other. And then, I'm going too fast, let me know. Here's the sewer department with the same information by department. You can see the field is here, office is here, which we've combined with the field now. Pollution control and their subcategories. And this gives a nice little recap at the end that ties a lot of my numbers, if you're ever wondering. The new formats, which I went out of order, sorry. I didn't do my research on the packet numbering before I started. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I apologize. Here's the sewer to show you. So we have the revenue. The revenues have their own categories. We have residential consumption, commercial consumption, industrial consumption. We've lumped in revenues of miscellaneous sales, interest income, to kind of show you the total in all those categories. And then expenses. We have, here's all of our salary costs, and it compares year to year, as well as month to month, and then year to date. We put all our employee benefits in a category, so everything's kind of lumped in together that you can see. So it just kind of depends on what you think would be more beneficial. You don't have to answer me today. You know, you can think about it, but would by expense type or by department type be more helpful? It would still be by water or sewer because we are two separate reporting entities. But with this new software, there is a few ways that I can provide this information to you, and I want it to be the most helpful, user-friendly version. Or I can always provide them both and then report the memo as I normally do.
That's a lot of good detail.
And that's why I don't want to overwhelm you.
But it does. I mean, it's almost like it'd be easier to see, you know, the roll-up for each of those.
Yeah, and I don't mind putting
for each of the subs.
In the memo, that's why I throw everything in the memo.
Yeah. And then maybe, you know, on a quarterly or semi-annual basis, a detailed one.
Okay.
I mean, that's my thought.
Sure.
But
okay, yeah, and in the back of this, it does have the, let me see, it has the summary of each of the, it's not on the app, I probably passed it up. Here it is. Here's like the little summary, you know, where you don't have to see all that. So I could include the summary in future month's reports and then the department income statement, something like that.
The others here may have a different opinion, so.
Or I can just keep doing department and then semi-annually give you this thing. And
I think it's good. I mean, transparency. I mean,
Don't want to look at it, don't look at it. But it's there, and then if there's something notable, I'll put it in the memo. That's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't usually make you guys make decisions about financials, but... And that is all I have for you, unless there's any questions, because, again, that was a lot of information. All right.
Jennifer, remind me how are the city franchise fees calculated?
I believe they are, I can see it. I knew I should have looked that number up. It's like 1% of residential and maybe 4% of commercial and industrial or similar. I'll get that number for you for sure.
I don't know.
But it's based on a percentage of billed revenue by the customer type.
Okay.
And they're, depending on usage, $40,000 to $50,000 a month. Yeah.
Good chunk.
So those fees we're paying the city?
The city of Rogers, yes. For the water department, we provide them with free water. And then for the sewer department, we give them franchise fees.
They got a sweet deal.
Yeah.
Well, we get to be on their health insurance and a lot of other things, so you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a number that was 37 over last year.
Yes, but our billed revenue is that you saw water billed revenue, or sorry, sewer billed revenue was up $986,000.
Okay, but I was thinking the franchise fee was the one that was $37,000 higher.
Year to date or for the month?
I don't remember.
Prior to
anyway.
Last year?
It was
year over year, maybe?
Six months, yeah.
But it had been the 6 month year over year, okay.
Yes. So it's something that $986,000 you're looking at 1%. I think it's a residential. Again, I'm not for sure on my allocation. I think it's 1% of residential and 4% of commercial and industrial, but I can get that definite number for you. But it is based on a percentage of billed revenue.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Free water and money.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
I can remove that line item next time.
I guess it's all built into the rate.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not there.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Hey, Ruin. All right, so for the engineering report, we didn't have an engineering report in December, so this will cover November and December. For plan review, been holding steady. The trend line for the year has gone up. It looks like that'll continue into the new year. We had a in these 2 months, we had 23 new sites submitted, 86 total plan reviews. Pretty good mix of projects in there. Two smaller residential subdivisions and one multifamily. You know, the rest is going to be a commercial and municipal projects and schools. And the one school that we had was Rogers Public Schools up on 94 North, and that project's been put on hold, I've been told. So I won't go through all the individual projects unless you guys have a question on any one of these. Some of our project status, we have 8 projects currently under construction. A lot of these are city street projects. Band sewer additions, or sewer replacement is just getting started, and we're in the middle of the mills and the second street waters. We've got 2 projects that are currently out to bid. The sewer repairs on Blossom Way, that's part of that line back behind Mercy that we've had some issues with. This is the next phase of replacement of that line. Also, a line that's exposed in Turtle Creek at 24th and Olive that's going to be relocated, and a point repair at Dixieland at Town West. And we've also we're also bidding out a smaller project to construct a gravel laydown yard and some driveways over at our Lilac Tank site to move some of these material storage operations from our downtown site out there. So it's kind of more of a centralized location for the field guys. And then we've got a lot of projects in design and pre-design. I've highlighted five there that those are likely to go out to bid here in the next couple of months. We're just wrapping up some of the final items of design on those projects. And so those will be advertised in February, March, somewhere in there. The solids handling facility phase two, I know this has been kind of in the works for a long time. I spoke with the contractor today, and they're going to have pricing for both of our dryer options sometime next week so that our design team can get together, compare apples to apples, request a final quote for the equipment, and make a recommendation to the commission. There's significant events in the engineering department. A while back, the commission approved updated specifications. We went through several rounds of comments with the health department and ended up reformatting, not revising, but reformatting that entire spec book so that all the references and everything made sense. And so those went into effect in November 2022. So that's specifications and details. Also in December, we signed a MOA with the Arkansas Department of Health, and that delegates plan review responsibility to Rogers Water. And so for anything considered a minor project, which is less than 2,000 feet of water and sewer lines and less than 100 living units. And so those projects will no longer have to go through the state for review after it gets approved by us. And so it kind of takes one of the development hurdles out of the... But we can... Anything with a lift station or this kind of like a complex job or anything that we feel that the state needs to look at or we need a second set of eyes on, we still have the option of requiring the state to review it as well.
What's their turnaround time, Brian?
It's generally been running about 3 weeks to a month.
About a month. But then most of the time they'll have a comment letter to the developer or to the engineer, and then they'll have to go through another round. So we're saving the development community a couple of months with that memorandum.
Nice work.
On average.
Yeah, so a lot of time that's one of the last holdups to a project to getting under construction is the health department. So this takes that out.
Yeah, because we typically the city requires us to get their approval as well as ours, so nobody makes any revisions to the plan before the red stamping, as you're well aware, and they can't go to the grading port. They can't even go to the grading permit until the health department's approval. So we'll cut that out, and it'll really help the community.
And usually by the time we've approved the project, there's really not much left to comment on these small projects. So these guys do a good job of reviewing the plans.
Good deal.
And just a little City Works and GIS update. We've been working with Timmons and completed most of the discovery and documentation for the AMS and work order processes. I know, you know, we've been sending them a lot of spreadsheets with all of our work order processes, and so they should have all that documentation, compiling all that together. I think we're still working on some things on the plant side. Aaron's been coordinating with the GIS schema and database behind all that, and so we expect to be getting into the training and testing phase pretty soon on that. So it's coming along. And that's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Our new governor will be very happy that you've kind of taken a layer of government out of there.
Well, developers will be too.
I was just trying to do this part.
Thank you.
Just a day for red day.
Good afternoon. I was out last month, and then didn't really have a whole lot, so I just go ahead and let you see there's on both November and December, the plan itself is performing fine for the permit limits. Our pre-treatment activities, I just kept it to December. We inspected a couple of industries there. You can see our surcharges staying pretty consistent at this point. It seems like that we've kind of found where people are comfortable operating at. You'll see the details there. Both industries were very amenable to taking care of any issues, and they were doing their best. So I feel like they're doing a good job of working with us. The fog inspections and pump tracking and all that stuff. She's doing well. You can see here all the new food service establishments that are opening up. She puts in a really nice report. So. But I went ahead and included significant events from both November and December. We began improvements on the security of the facility by placing fence away from equalization basins. There was a pretty tragic event over in Decatur, and we felt like we had to take care of that, especially with the city pulling down the fencing around our exterior of the property. People were able to bring their vehicles in and drive around and presented some risks. So we went ahead and moved our large chain link security fence and completed that circuit instead of just depending on some of our structures for part of the border. We went back to 6 days a week operation in November, and we've been able to maintain that here through December. We've looked at our solids handling coordinator position and promoted within our own team. Chris Lawson is who we selected there, and he's doing a fantastic job so far. You can see, I've commented the previous month we had a half inch less rain and one less event, but 26 and a half million gallons less flow. So then if you look down here, I'll skip to kind of coordinate these. We had less rain in December than November, and our average daily went up. Going back to September, it was 8.8. So we've pretty clearly got some groundwater infiltration here, going from 8.8 to 11.5 with essentially the same rain every month. So it's as the ground gets saturated and doesn't get dried out, then we have that issue. But we did begin interviews for our maintenance technician. We're still working on finding the right person for that. Fencing project for our security was completed in December, even though it started in November. Operations technician is technically in a January update, a little preliminary, but we do have a person found for operations technician to backfill for that promotion. Many days off were taken. It is also noteworthy right now, we don't have any construction projects underway, which is unusual for my time here. We've spent a lot of money there here recently. You guys have really enabled us to do a lot of things that have enabled us to operate more consistently, operate safer, operate more efficiently. We are very thankful for that, and I just wanted to extend the invitation if you wanted to come and see where that money went. check out our facilities at this point, especially while we don't have construction going. I'd invite any of you to give us a call and come on out or just show up. I may not be there, but if you don't call ahead, but you're welcome there anytime. So just wanted to extend that invitation. That I'd open it up for any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, y'all just get to look at some boring numbers for me I did add, like, I thought this was kind of cool because I'm having to go back and do a lot of research for the lead stuff in our system and everything. And as we're getting ready to proceed with removing all the lead from our water lines and stuff. But this was actually the first water tower built in Rogers in 1907. And then down here, this is where they're demolishing the first one, and they've actually erected this one here. So that was actually some of the first water towers.
Johnny, what are the locations of those?
That would be out there on
First Street, just north of the fire.
No, these were out there on Walnut and Spring. Yeah, but it wasn't. These were the first ones out there off of Walnut and Spring. Yeah. We had because the water actually was pumped up from down there at Lake Atalanta from the spring and stuff at the water treatment plant down there. So,
that's cool.
From what I've been reading, that was where they're at. So now what I was reading was wrong.
There's still a piece of property there at that intersection in the city, which is where.
As you can see, our guys have been working diligently to take care of the system and stuff. This is for the month of December. So we had quite a bit of work going on throughout the month there. We did have two sewer overflows. One of those was actually caused by the freezing weather. Some guy's private line froze and actually went down into our line because it connected to a manhole and froze up the flow in there. So it caused a little bit of a backup there and stuff. That was the first time I'd ever seen that happen, so it was a little bit unusual. Like I said, the water guys, we've been maintaining the system. We did have, trying to see here, because this is a new format. We did have 26 water main breaks on our lines and stuff, and that most of those were attributed to the freezing weather and everything. We had some private some meters that froze up on our side and stuff, which those considered a break, but it was inside the meter box there that we had to replace some inlets and stuff like that. So, y'all have any questions? Okay.
Thanks, Johnny.
Business.
All right. Resolution 23-1. I think for any of you who may have been out last week, this is a resolution causing the grinder stations over here on the east side of town, kind of in that Lake Atalanta basin out there, to be privatized when homeowners either rebuild a house, new construction, because we still maintain somewhere around, 80 or 90 lift stations in that area that were put in the late 90s, early 2000s to correct some failing septic systems out there. We brought this to commission last month, and we were asked to make some revisions to clarify the definition of a significant improvement, which would be the trigger to privatize these lift stations, or have the property owner install their own grinder pump. And so here in section one, we've revised this after meeting with risk reduction and their building code people, their staff that was familiar with the building code. They pointed us to the international existing building code. And when a developer or homeowner comes in for a remodel, they make an assessment on the level of alteration that they're asking to do, and that kind of dictates what part of the building code that has to be followed throughout the remodel. And so that's something that is done by risk reduction anyway. And so what we've dictated here is significant improvement would be a lot split property line adjustment, new construction, an improvement to existing structures classified as a level three alteration or addition. And so the level three alteration is if you're remodeling over 50% of the floor area of a home. So anything under any, like a, so we wouldn't, this wouldn't kick in for if somebody was replacing their roof or redoing their kitchen. This is, we're trying to get the whole home remodels and additions and new construction. You know, I don't think the intent here is to cause undue expense on somebody who's trying to make repairs to a home. And so we think this is going to be a clear-cut solution and just going to get done what we want to have done. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding this resolution.
Did y'all do a good job defining this? It's clear cut now. There's no wiggle room in there.
Yep, the gray matter is gone.
Yeah. All right, I hear a motion to approve resolution 2302.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's the resolution
2301. I will make a motion to approve resolution number 23-1, requiring installation of private sewer pump station in case of significant improvement to a property being served by a small public sewer pump station and for other purposes.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Carries 5-0.
Thank you. These pumps on private property, I mean.
Yep.
They're actually within an easement on private property. And so whenever these are privatized, that easement could then be made.
Ah. And most of them have circuit breaker boxes, right? Or the power box there? I know some that I've seen did.
We have the utility has a meter, and we get, is that the way that works?
Yeah,
we pay the meter bill for it.
I bring forward to you resolution 2302. I mentioned briefly in my memo that we've had some issues with the current printing and mailing services. Level one, back in November, we opened bids for printing and mailing services. We received two bids, level one and Data Forms Inc. We went with level one. They were about $25,000 to $30,000 cheaper per year. And we thought that we would work through some programming changes and some delays that we had experienced with them. However, after signing that contract, in effective December, beginning of December, we were scheduled for them to take over a billing that the local printer Data Forms have been assisting us with. That deadline was not met in December, and we kept receiving promises, print errors. Basically, we were without printing and mailing services. Data Forms continue to help us out without a contract during this time. Otherwise, without Dataform's help, we would not have been able to bill our customers probably since September or another local printer, because the level one had about 3 months to get ready. And we thought, okay, they're going to be ready. You know, we've had the time. They were not, and so we have notified level one that we would like to exit the contract, breach a contract. Brent is awaiting some signed documentation from them. As a result of all that, we would like to request a resolution authorizing Rogers Water contract with Dataforms for printing and mailing services, waiving any further requirements for competitive bidding and for other purposes. To note, they were our second and only bid we received in November. And with us just bidding this out in November, with Robert's guidance, we feel comfortable recommending Dataforms as the second highest ranking print services. And honestly, their reputation for helping us out in a pickle has meant the world to us.
What was the difference?
Annually, about
$25,000 to $30,000.
Okay. So they've been able to respond to our changes quickly. They've delivered in December. They would have gotten our bills out timely, but we send return envelopes in our bills, and we were only telling them to order just enough because we thought the other company was going to be ready. So by the time we were ready for billing, they didn't have enough return. And it's not their fault, you know. So the fact that we didn't get bills out was nothing to do with Dataforms. It was just we were trying to order appropriately to be ready to go with the existing company. So.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 23-02, a resolution authorizing the Rogers Water Utilities to contract with Dataforms Incorporated for printing and mailing services, waiving any further requirements of competitive bidding and for other purposes.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I did want to note that section one of this resolution does state that this is subject to in the completion of the termination of the contract with Rogers, awaiting signature and should have shortly. We've communicated and all that, but I did want to...
What was their reasoning for dropping the ball?
They're, I think, a very large company, and so when there are changes, they have programming changes. And so they have a company, you know, that does the programming here. The printing is at a different facility. So it took them about 3 months to do the programming changes. When they went live to do the mailing, they found a glitch in the printing side of the programming, which caused the QR code to be overlapping the amount due, you know, and then when there was some communication issues, and basically Dataforms had sent out a bill and level one had sent out the bill, and Jerry can definitely attest the quality that we experienced from them was not what we had experienced before. And so coupled with the issues that we've had to make changes, the communication, the quality, and not seeing a true end date to get this all resolved is why we chose to seek termination of the contract.
But we're not going to, are we going to get any kind of fees or anything that we're going to have to pay to terminate that?
No, this is a walk away. We had liquidated damages potentially. They have some invoices that they would have against us. The termination of the settlement offer we came up with was, hey, let's just walk away from this, both sides, and just call it. And I spoke to the interim CEO. I think they've had a lot of changes. Not sure what happened. They worked very well before. And then the next time we came in this contract, it was chaos. And again, without DFI stepping in, they did not have to. We would have been in a bad place. But we're awaiting that termination. It went from the interim CEO to the secretary, and now it's in their legal department. They couldn't get done fast enough. That's why we threw it in here in process. Once that's completed, we're good. We also sent the 15-day letter notice of, which I think we've already reached as well. We're very close to it.
Yeah, there's another right of termination coming up. We sent them a... goes to Bridge Contract letter back in December. In 15 days is either gone or it's option one. So we'll be able to terminate that way as well. But there is an agreement that Brett described to you that we're liquidating damages, that they will not send us any invoices for the work that was not performed properly in December.
And while I'm Mr. Chairman, we know we need to complete that vote for this resolution. We've got the yeas today, but we also need to ask for the nays.
All opposed? 5-0.
They were very cordial. It's just.
Okay.
Thank you. It's been tough with the conversion, and then you had to throw that on top of it. It's a new year.
When did we start not charging people?
Beginning of September.
Of 2022. Okay.
We officially switched over to the new software on September 6th. Okay. And we immediately issued your billing timely. And so I think we might have been one penalty. Like in the beginning, we were thought, oh, we're in, and then we quickly realized that we would not. So yeah, that includes like 10% penalty, $11, $16 minor fees, and $20 is going to So in the water side, that's where our $20 and $11, $16 minor fees are. So that's why you see that $170,000 difference through today. Water's only about $40,000.
So about 5 to 6 months of no disconnects or anything else. Okay.
And so we just, we're not billing timely, we don't need to know it.
Makes sense. We're done. I will say, I got a compliment on Johnny's crew over the weekend. AT&T did their thing and chewed up some lines, apparently, over here by, I don't know the street, but it's Ozark Beer. So that's all you're going to need to know. You know, the places that you know. And he, the crew stayed and told the people that they were staying until it was finished, and they were very appreciative, and I appreciate your crew doing that. Thank you.
And I had a neighbor that had a broken water line. She was out of town, but somebody else was staying at her house, and water was coming through the can light in the ceiling, and she said they called the water department, and they came and turned the water off for them. So she didn't say anything bad, and it was very positive, so that was good.
Right on.
Yeah. Good job.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, you might want to adjourn the meeting.
Oh, let's adjourn the meeting. Sorry.